All right, come on in, everybody. It's no excuses month here at No BS. We're going to get started. I've got to pull up my notes so I can lead y'all confidently through what we're going to be talking about this morning. And I'm excited about it. So today we kick off. If you are new to No BS and you're wondering, like, what does this mean? What we do every month is we usually have like a theme of the month, something that we're going to focus on that's going to help us lose weight. It's going to help us get on track, all the things. So on Wednesday Q&As with me, you get to ask questions. We will talk a little bit about the topic of the month, but you can also plug into the Q&A any questions that you're having. So if in particular today, what I would love to hear from all of you is questions that you have around handling some of your big ass excuses, since that is going to be our theme this month. This course actually was developed about a year ago, and it was one of our live events. You are not getting every single thing we did in the live event, but you are getting the most critical material, which is the actual lessons. And I just think that as we're going into the holidays, that talking about our excuses is a great thing for all of us. The holidays are riddled with them. We think there's food pushers. We think this is not the best time to lose weight. We think we're going to be too busy. Our overwhelm is at a high. Like everything that goes on, it's like the holidays are going to crank that up big time. So, we want to talk about it now because we want you. The goal for us as a team here at No BS is to help all of you lose at least 10 pounds between now and January 1st. So, we're going to kick it off with before we actually get super deep into like handling the holidays and how we're going to lose the 10 pounds and stuff. I want to get you started with this month, really focusing on overcoming the excuses that you're going to have, because a lot of you will think that your excuse is just real. It is like, Corinne, I'm just telling you facts. I'm just telling you the way it is. That is not the way it is. Almost every excuse is literally a thought that we have about a very specific circumstance happening in our life. And what that means is, for example, let's say that your excuse is, I'm just too busy right now. That's going to feel so real. It is going to, like, you'll be upset. And I got this going on and this going on, but Corinne, you don't understand this. And then this thing happened and blah, blah, blah. And then your brain is going to be hypervigilant. Like, if you're thinking, like, I can't lose weight right now, I'm too busy, then your brain is going to look for all the things that prevents you from losing weight. It will not be looking for help. It will not be looking for small moments. It will not be looking for little ways that you can still lose weight. When we don't clean up those thoughts, that's what ends up happening. So I want you to think about your mind, okay? Whatever your prevailing thought is, especially when it comes to excuses, you are programming into your brain, hey, this thought that I'm having that creates this feeling of overwhelm or this feeling of hopelessness or this feeling of defeat or whatever the feeling is. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to scan the world every day and I want you to show me only the things that make this thought true. So, all of you have something called the reticulation activating. I always botch this. It's the RAS, but it's like it's reticular activating system. In short, what this is it is a filter that our brain has. Our brains are very powerful and they can take in all kinds of inputs. And so when our brains were designed, the creators of the brain, let's pretend that they are like a group of let's say it's a group of women, not a group of men, a group of women. And they're all over there thinking like, okay, now we have given this human something super powerful. It can think unlike anything else on the earth. And it's got emotions and it's like it's got to remember things. And it's not just got to like function in the world, but that thing's got to keep that body alive too. So it's got to have a lot of ways. Like it's always got to be thinking about things. So when they knew that, they're like, this super powerful brain is there's no way that it can take in everything that's going on in the world. It'll just fry the system. So now we need a filter. We've got to somehow figure out a way that only the important information gets in. So the reticular activating system was plugged into our brain so that whatever it is that we think, whatever it is that we believe, our brain is going to and think that's important. Our brain is now going to only look for things that prove it true or that make sense to that story. So if your thought during the next 3 months is, and your excuse is, I'm just so busy, then your brain is now going to look for, it's going to pay attention to everybody who wants something from you. And it's going to be like, oh my gosh, you're so busy. You probably should say yes to this. Well, you don't want to hurt their feelings. Like, this is just what happens during this time of year. Everyone needs you. So your brain won't even consider, like, do you really want to do that? Like, if your thought isn't, I'm too busy, if your thought about the holidays is this, this holiday season, I am only going to do the things that I feel are right. And even if it's hard to say no, I am going to get really focused on this holiday season, not being too busy, but being busy with the right things. Two different thoughts, same person. One person's brain, when they just think they're too busy, is it going to be people pleasing? It's going to have a hard time saying no. They're going to feel like they can't say no. They are going to think that little things to lose weight aren't good enough. They're going to get into that trap because they've got to prove that they're just too busy for losing weight. So even little things like, nope, that doesn't count. I might as well not even bother. The person who's like, this holiday season, for the next 90 days, here's what's fixing to happen. I am only going to be busy with the best things. And even if it's hard for me, I'm going to figure out how to lose weight and still enjoy my holidays. Like, I'm going to give my brain now a quality problem to solve so that my reticular activating system now can start trying to filter to me other things that it normally filters out. And so you might have someone come up and say, like, oh, I know it's last minute. And I know that you like have a really busy job and like you're doing all the things, but we could really use some home-baked cookies tomorrow. Can you do it? And this is where you would look at a teacher and you would say, like, well, no, I really can't, but I appreciate you asking me. Or you could say, you know what? There's no way I could bake cookies. I'm more than happy to send a shipped to the principal's office with some cookies from the Kroger. Will that help you? Like, your brain now is going to have creative solutions. It's going to be thinking about, like, is this worth it? So we want to be very aware of our excuses. So some of the ones that are coming in is like a big excuse. I can just do X tomorrow. This is a big excuse. This is one of those excuses where we have to think, like, huh, when that thought comes up, when I want to kick it down the curb, I always have to tell myself, tomorrow I will not feel better. I think I'm going to want to do it tomorrow. I never want to do it tomorrow. So can I just, and we do a can I just moment. We look and we say, like, can I just do this part? Can I just get started and see what happens? So we use, for a lot of you, what you're going to learn during the excuses month is we use excuses as triggers. We use an excuse as a trigger to think the next thought. Because what most of you do is you just like, excuse, fact, react, as I always do. And then most of you sit around and complain that you have excuses. Like, you'll come to me and you'll be like, I'm just going to sit here and I want to get coaching about I don't like my excuses. How do you get them to go away? The best way to get excuses to go away, everybody pay attention because this is the number one question I get asked. The best, fastest, and surest way to get your brain to stop offering excuses is to get good at doing the opposite of what the excuse says. Because when you get really skilled at doing the opposite, your brain will do one of two things. It will either stop offering it because it's now a busted thought. Your brain is like, every time I offer up this thought, she does this. And your brain is always just trying, it's literally always just trying to start offering you thoughts that it thinks you want. And a lot of you are just like, I don't understand. but my excuses don't go away. And you're acting on them. And so that teaches your brain, it's like, oh, she must want this lovely excuse. She doesn't really want to go to the gym. She really wants an excuse to not go because she never goes when I offer excuses. So that must mean that's what she really wants. And you have to teach your brain. That is not what I want. I want longevity. I want health. I want strength. I want weight loss. Like whatever it is you're wanting, you have to like teach your brain, I want this. And so when you tell me we can do it tomorrow, I'm going to tell you, yeah, that has not worked. So I'm going to drag my sorry ass there. I'm probably not going to like it. And I'm just going to get started and I'm going to see what happens. And I am willing to do that for months, if that's what it takes, until my brain learns that, hey, we can dread it, but we don't make excuses anymore. I don't tell myself I can do it tomorrow anymore. Now I'm just going to move into the stage of like, man, like, I guess it's time to go to the gym. Not excited about it, but it's time. That's what my brain does most days. I would say 90% of the time, like, I'm just using the gym as an excuse because a lot of people have this one. 90% of the time, I don't want to go in there. But I always tell myself, we're going to do it because you also don't want all the consequences that come with it. You don't want tomorrow to be dreading it too. You don't want to lose your muscles. You do not want to be in my mom's shape. You know, she has a difficult time lifting things if like she needs things done. My brother has to fly to Florida to do things for her. I don't want to be that person. If for God forbid something ever happens to Chris, I want to be the one who can lift things. I want to be the one that can get him in and out of a shower if I had to. Like that's the woman I want to be. So we just want to make sure that like one of the things that our brain will do is it will eventually just move into the phase of like, oh, it's not that there's a good excuse not to do it. You just don't want to do it. And that is a beautiful place to be. Because in the moment where it's just like, you realize, like, it's not that life's getting in my way. It's not all these excuses. Here's the real thing. I'm just not wanting to right now. And then that's when you get to tell yourself, it's like, I get it. It's not easy to want to do things, but this is one of those things that's important. So we'll just do it anyway. And then, so your brain will get to that stage. And then the other thing that it will do is sometimes when you do something often enough and you get a positive result from it because you're no longer using excuses and only suffering when you don't do it, is your brain now starts kind of falling in love with it. Now your brain kind of is like, oh, well, that's not so bad. Or, oh, like it doesn't have as much drama. So that's how we get over the excuses. All right, let me pull up Kathy because I totally forgot to. Thank you for giving me a note, Kathy. Oh, no, I didn't have the participants pulled up for some reason. All right, so I am going to let me look at my notes about what I was. Let's see. Let me do speak review. There we go. So let's talk first. I'm going to come to the questions in just a moment. Let's talk first about just this month and what's going on. So I've already talked about this is no excuses month. All of the videos are released. There's eight total lessons. They're short. They're not super long. And here are three things to get the most out of this month. Go to the no this month in No BS and watch the no excuses video lessons. All of it's in there. And then I would encourage you to do the worksheets. We found at this camp that people said these worksheets were super helpful. They really helped them break through their excuses. It really helped them move the needle. So do them again. And if you attended that camp, here's what I would do. I would do all of this again. Because what happened, I mean, the version of you who did it the first time is different than the version of you who will do it today. The version of you who did it the first time is going to be completely different than the version of you who does it today. So one of the things I just recently did is my mentor, she has a class and I take it every year. It's around goal setting and stuff. And I always like to take it right before I'm getting ready to plan like my 2025 year big ass goals and stuff. And I do a lot of this work in September and October to get ready because I always like to use the last part of the year as the setup for success in the next year. That's why, like, we do handling the holidays with all of you. When we talk about holiday weight loss, a lot of people write off 3 months of the year. And I'm like, bitches, that's like 75% of the year or 25% of the year. And people were wondering, like, I don't know why my weight loss is so slow. I only give up for 25% of the year. It's like, well, and then when we start on January 1, guess what? We do not want to start behind the eight ball. We don't want to start with loads of excuses. We don't want to start with breaking those habits. We don't want to start with an extra 10 pounds. We actually want to use that last quarter of the year as the setup for the new year. We want to start establishing some of the smaller habits that we know we're going to need for the next year. We want to start making the subtle changes. We want to get really good at our mindset so that on January 1, we're excited and motivated, but we're not behind. We're not stacking the deck on to get started on January 1. It's like, not only do I have some weight to lose, but now I've got these extra habits and routines that I built over 3 months that now I got to go break. So for all of you, I want you to be thinking about January 1 you. She wants to start the new year excited as an OBS woman. She does not want to start the new year thinking she wasted the last 3 months. And all of you do this for every one of you that's given up during a holiday, who's like put weight loss on the shelf and stuff. How many of you were actually really excited on January 1 about how you showed up through the holidays? Or do you often get really excited about January 1 because you're ready to shake off who you've been? I don't want anybody having to shake off who they've been. I don't want anyone having to hit a big fat reset button who's already in no BS. I want you feeling like you're rolling into the new year with some momentum. So do the worksheets because you'll be a different person. These lives will be every Wednesday, Q&As. I will be teaching every single week a little new thing about busting excuses around the four basics. And then make sure that you are using Ask Coaches and that you're using the Facebook group to get the help that you deserve. We are here to support you. Okay, so let's talk about the upcoming lessons. The first one today is October 9th is going to be the top three excuses that make doable hunger hard. The 16th will be busting your excuses for breaking your plans. Hello, all of you. That's an important one. October 23rd will be overriding your excuses all the way down the scale. So we'll be taking a look at how do you like the new excuses that come up as you lose weight. And then on the 27th, we are actually, that is the day that we're going to be doing the big workshop for handling the holidays. It's getting a new name. I rewrote the entire program. It is brand new for all of you. So be excited. It's the first time we've rewritten it in a little while. And I worked really hard on it. And it's also one of the first things you're going to see from our brand new No BS Studios here at Casa Crabtree. All right. So let's talk about why excuses get in the way of weight loss and what to do about it. Number one, reasons are honest truths. So like whatever excuse or reason you've got going on, like if you have a reason to not do something, that's usually true. But excuses just feel true. So I'm so busy is an excuse. Now, if you said on my calendar, Corinne, on this day, I can't go to the gym because I've literally got meetings from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. at night. And before those meetings start, I know I'm going to need to get my shit together and I'm going to need to hydrate and eat breakfast and stuff. And I'm pretty sure at the end of the day, I'm just going to be super tired because this is a busier day than usual. That's called a reason because now we've got factual evidence. You've got a thought out thing around it. Excuses are not thought out. Excuses are just thrown out there like vomit coming out your mouth. So we want to know that there are times that we have really rock solid reasons for not doing things. But we need to love the reason. And a reason is thought out. And good reasons are never going to keep you from losing weight. Say it again. Good reasons are never going to prevent weight loss. Excuses, though, will prevent weight loss. So you've got to know the difference between the two. So an easy way to question if it's an excuse or if it's a reason is to ask, if you could do this, if somebody said, I'll give you $1 million to get this done. If you could think of ways to get it done and make it happen, you're probably dealing with an excuse. Now, if somebody offers you $1 million and you're like, well, that would be really hard because of these reasons, like I would like if your brain automatically goes to all the things you'd have to reshuffle and stuff, now we're thinking again. Now we're probably running more into reason world. So a lot of you will tell me the excuse of, well, I can't plan. I'm just not good at it. And I'll like kind of dig around. It's like, well, why can't you plan? Well, it just takes too long. Excuse. Because if I said, if I gave you $1 million for 365 completed daily plans, whether you followed them or not, could you get it done every single day? Most people will be like, well, hell yeah, I could do that. Like you wouldn't even have to like, well, let me check my calendar, Corinne. I don't know. Let me check with my partner. Like no one would have to do that. That's how we gut check things. So we want, and I will just tell you, deciding if it's a reason or if it's an excuse is not a precise thing. There is no way, perfectionist, I am talking to you, that I'm going to be able to give you a decision tree that's like 100% of the time nailed. But what I can do is get you to think through your excuses and get to know them. And then that way, the more you're thinking about them, you're probably 80% of the time going to be spot on. And maybe 20% of the time, you may be calling an excuse a reason, or maybe you're burning out a little because you're calling a reason an excuse. But if we could just get it to that, we are winning, ladies. Right now, we ain't thinking. We just listening to excuses and bullshitting our way all the way to no weight loss land. And we are not going to lose weight bullshitting ourselves. So we're going to be thinking. You're going to hear a lot about this in No BS, not only the last 3 months of this year, but when we roll out the brand new version of the No BS course in January, one of the things that I want all of you to understand more than anything is thinking before you eat. The key word is we're going to learn how to think again. Most of us are not thinking very much. We're reacting. We're letting our automatic thoughts run. We're just letting excuses come up. We're worrying. We're catastrophizing. We're doing anything but reasonable thinking. And we're going to make reasonable thinking common and something we just do again. It's going to be the new fancy around here because we've got to quit just being like, but my brain just offers me this. Your brain is always going to offer you a host of bullshit until you get really good at thinking through what bullshit you want and what bullshit you don't want from it. All right. Now, the second thing, excuses only get in the way of weight loss when we are not questioning them and we just think they're the God's honest truth. So the most common weight loss excuses that I hear is, I don't have time. And usually when somebody tells me they ain't got time, they also ain't got a calendar. They might have a to-do list. Maybe. Most of y'all got a running to-do list in your head, which is the worst place to keep it. At least keep it on paper. And then that to-do list is rarely prioritized. It rarely is divided into things I know I gotta do and things I think I should do. Most of you, when it comes to I don't have time, will not have a calendar detailed out with all the stuff that's even on your list. So one of the things that I do when it comes to I don't have time is I earn the right to know I don't have time. I don't believe in my own feelings of overwhelm or feeling like there's too much to do. I always say, like, prove it. You need to prove to me you've got too much to do. You need to prove to me that you do not have time. And this is how I do it. I'm going to give you the down and dirty on this. Number one, thou maketh a list of everything you need to do. And I mean all of it. Now, for all of you who like really don't want to be overwhelmed, you'd really like to become someone who's productive, you really want to be someone who gets some shit done, you will start doing this process. And you will not tell me that taking an hour out of your week to plan thy week takes too much time. There's no bitch in the world that probably gets more shit done than I do. People are always amazed. Like, how do you run two companies? How do you have a good marriage? And how do you also have time to read all the books you read and listen to the podcasts you do? How do you have time to watch TV every night? I play four New York Times games every single fucking day. I also eat three meals a day, and I work out 6 days a week. Like, most of the time when I tell people all the things that I do, they're just like, I just don't even understand this. Like, how is all this getting done? And it's because I do this process. So I write down every single thing, self-care, family shit, recurring bullshit that I gotta do, and all the work projects. I just did this process this morning, actually. It was the first thing I did because it's the first part of the quarter. I was like, we gotta get to planning. And I had three pages, I'm not shitting you, of just projects and work to do for the company. That was not even including my personal projects and the things I want to be doing. And if you went to Queen of Your Life camp, you know I'm trying to go back to college starting next year, fall of 2025, just saying. You know I want to start playing flute again. You know I got some personal shit too I want to do. So I made a big long list. Then I sorted it by things that are promised. Now, things that are promised are things that you have verbally committed out loud, has to be done. Like, these are the things that you can't not do. And you have to be really strict with yourself on this because it will be easy to talk yourself into, well, I have to do the laundry every day. It's like, do you really? Y'all don't have enough clothes to last like 2 days? You couldn't do this bi-daily? Like, we really want to question what we think is promised work and have to do work. So I sort the list by that first. So anything that's promised or I know's got to get done, that goes on the calendar first. So like these calls, it goes on the calendar first. I know that from 10 to 11 on Wednesdays, Corinne cannot put down projects. I'm not going to be exercising. I ain't blowing my hair out that day. Like, all the things that are also on my list that I have to do, they don't go in the slot between 10 and 11 o'clock. So I want to make sure that all that stuff gets planned first. Then I move to the next part of the list, which is all the remaining things. I start with on the remaining things, the stuff that I call highly impactful to life. So for some people, and you just have to come up with your own filters. So, like if you're retired and you don't like work, but you've got a lot of things, and maybe you're taking care of parents, and you also babysit the grands, and you got a partner that relies on you for every toot and fart and scratch of the ass, whatever all that is, you make that list. The next thing that gets planned is you go through and you look at, well, what is really impactful or important to me? Because there will be some things on your list that aren't super impactful. And they just kind of need to fall down the priority list. Doesn't mean they won't get done, but they don't need to get planned first. If you are in business, the filter that I run through on that one for myself is what is like on this list, it's going to move the business forward. Like, what is going to make a significant impact? One of the things that I do here on the weight loss side is like when I look at all my projects, I usually ask myself, of these projects, which ones will help women lose weight the most? That's the one I want to be paying attention to. So I just start with those. I break those down, I put them on the calendar. Once I do all of that, I'm going to learn one of two things about myself. The first thing I'm going to learn is I usually have more time than I give myself credit for. So when I look at the calendar and everything's kind of plugged in and I can see it for the week or the, you can plan a week, you can plan 2 weeks, you can even plan a couple of days. It just depends on how far out you want to plan. I these days am planning in 2 week swaths. For a long time, I planned every couple of days. And then I got to where I was like, all right, I'm really good at planning for a week. And then when I got really good at planning for a week, it was more relieving to me to plan for 2 weeks. So I now do what they call the 2 week sprint. So You're either going to learn that you actually have time. So the overwhelm naturally goes away. It's like, oh, okay. Everything got a home. Everything got a place. I do have time. I can now, my brain, every time it wants to think I've got too much to do, I'm going to remind it, nope, it's all on the calendar. There's actually enough time to do everything. Okay. The second thing that will happen is you will be planning and you will notice you physically do not have the time, which means you are someone who's overcommitting or or under prioritizing. And through the exercise, by filtering things, you will naturally start seeing, like, oh my gosh, like this is not going to be able to get done. So now you have to ask yourself, who do I have to become to let that go? Because a lot of times, what you find out when you do this exercise enough is that it's not that you don't have time, it's that you don't like saying no to people. You feel like you're going to let people down. You're trying to do things for people that they should now be doing on their own. If you're in business, you may not be delegating enough. Now it's time to learn how to do that. It's time to learn how to trust that other people can do things. That's what that process shows you. It shows you the root cause problem. When we just sit around and say, I don't have time, we don't get to solving root cause problems in our life. So if we're going to keep using that excuse, then you also get to keep overwhelmed, burnout, people pleasing, stretched too thin, stress, and anxiety. That's the trade. Because people who tell me I don't have time are not sitting around enjoying their life very often. Most of the time when people are telling me that, oh, and I'm just so busy. I'm just so busy. I got too much to do. I got too much to do. I don't have time. They are living under the gun all the time and they're not helping themselves. They're not trying to figure out at the heart of it, what do I need to do emotionally to relieve some of this pressure? Okay. Other excuses. This is hard. It's like, you need to write, like, what is hard about it? Figure it out. Go to ask coaches. Ask, like to me, it feels hard. And here's why. Here's all the reasons why I think this is hard. And then the coaches can help you work through that because most of the time, things aren't actually hard. Like y'all will tell me, it's just so hard to plan. And then when we kind of dig in, it's not like literally, it's not hard to plan. You know what you ate yesterday? Eat it again today. Like, you know how to eat. The truth usually comes out is I don't want to plan because if I plan, I feel these things. I feel deprived. When I'm planning, it means I can't have this. Or when I'm planning, it means I'm hard on myself. Good. Rather than saying planning's hard, let's know what the real problem is. The root cause problem is I'm hard on myself. I have busted food rules that I need to work through. Like when we stop using excuses, we can find real problems to solve so that you feel better for life. I don't know if it's going to work. That is a big excuse. No one knows if something's going to work until they try it. Your brain is not meant to be the crystal ball, the tarot reader, the Ouija board, or the fortune teller. If those things worked, that's how we would be doing weight loss. I would be like, I'm gonna tell y'all, and like, I know the best way to lose weight. Go to a fortune teller and just ask her what's gonna happen. Predictions don't happen. This is the way it works. When your brain wants to go, like, I don't know if it's gonna work, so I'm just not gonna try it. And you tell yourself, no, we need to try it and see what happens. That will tell me. One, if it's going to work right out the gate, because a lot of times y'all don't try shit. And then when you finally start trying some stuff, guess what? You're like, oh, it's easier than I thought. Oh my God, that actually worked. I didn't think it would. And like, think about how long you sat on the fence, anguishing over it when you could have just fucking tried it and then it would have worked. So save some damn time. The second thing, somebody said Miss Cleo. Yeah, none of us can just call Miss Cleo. The other thing that happens is when we're thinking it's too hard and whatnot is when you try it, if it doesn't work, then you can figure out what specifically about it didn't work. Because usually when you try things, It's not all the things don't work. It's like, well, I was doing good until this point. So this one part needs to get worked on. So you now at least you highlight some of the things that are going right and some of the things that you need to take to ask coaches and work through. And then the last one is just, I don't want to. Good. We don't get success because we're in a good mood. If success waits on a good mood, success never happens. You are not going to want to do a lot of things. There are so many things when it comes to weight loss, you're just not going to want to do them. And it doesn't matter if you have a solid why. It doesn't matter if you have rock hard pain points about why you should be doing it. It like a lot of that won't matter. Most of the time, sitting on the couch will always seem better than, getting up and going for a walk. Order an Uber Eats will always sound better than getting your ass up and cooking something. I don't want to just means your brain is saying like, ugh. And I always tell myself, I don't want to, but I don't need to want to do it. I just need to do it. This is again where you can use can I just? Because this is where momentum comes into play. Sometimes all you need is to get going. So I use can I just all the time. I tell myself, can I just go out and walk for 10 minutes and talk to Jane? Usually I get to running off at the mouth, and the next thing I know, I've walked 25 minutes because I got a lot to say. And I've walked a little faster than I thought I would. And then sometimes I will go outside and I will be really tired and I will do a can I just? And I'll start talking to Jane. I'll be like, God, I'm just dragging my legs. I'll hear myself laboring and I'm like, you know what? I don't even need to walk today. I tried and that's what I got today. And I just go in and I'm like, that is a reason to not walk today. I've overcome the excuse of I don't want to. I've tried it. It was harder than I thought it was going to be. I could tell, like, I was thinking through, like, oh, my body, this, what, and the other. I'm like, all right, if I don't want to finish something or complete something when I'm in the middle of trying it because I've got some reasons coming up, I know now I can lose weight because now I'm over the hump of waiting to feel like doing things. I am in the stage of I try things, I see what happens. And in the occasions where I'm just like, oh, I'm too tired or whatever, I'm now good at responding to my body. All right. And then the last thing is your excuses are not weaknesses, they are just messengers. So once you figure out your most common excuses, and you will be doing all of this work in the course, start to ask, what message is this excuse maybe sending me? It could be sending you some information about your basic human needs not being met. So the basic human needs are water, sleep, self-care, movement, and positive self-talk. Those are the basic human needs, and we are going to be learning all about them in depth in January. But the short of it is, some of you who are wanting to eat when you're not hungry and you're having the excuse, like, I need this for energy. Maybe that is your body saying, we do need energy, but I want to solve the root cause problem. Maybe you're not getting enough rest. Maybe you're not getting the sleep you need, breaks, like regular routine small breaks. Maybe you're not talking to yourself really nice throughout the day. And it's time, like, oh, I really am going to have to like stop dragging myself through the day or pushing myself like an asshole through my day. I've got to figure out, how do I be more encouraging to myself? How do I listen to myself more and like cut myself some slack? So we want to be thinking about our excuses and like saying, what message might these be sending? Okay. So I would love for all of you, when we're done with this call today, to go to the Facebook group and post the excuse you're going to work on this month and what life will be like if you are going from using the excuse to now overriding it. Like, if I override it and I tell myself this and I start doing this, this is what my life could look like in a month. That will be the assignment for y'all who are live on the call. And even if you listen to the replay, you can still participate. All right, let's see what questions we got. My excuse is I can only get this at Halloween or this at Christmas. That is not true. Candy corn, you could order that on Amazon any time of the year. Number one, candy corn lasts for fucking ages. Like, just tell yourself, it's like, oh my God, chocolate covered cherries are only available at Christmas. That is a damn lie. Chocolate covered cherries can be ordered any fucking time you want on QVC. Trust me on that one. I see them bitches pouring out that chocolate covered cherry shit all year round. So I want you to be thinking, they only made one huge batch of candy corn. We are still eating out of that batch. Yeah, like, think about it. It's like, buy you some damn candy corn, portion it. I will guarantee you, somebody look it up on the internets right now. What is the shelf life of candy corn? I bet candy corn is like most things. We could put it in the storm cellar for the zombie apocalypse and be eating on it in 10 years from now. It is like, it lasts for eternity. Candy corn is like Twinkies. You can have it for millions of years. So we have to think about that. Your brain is just like acting as if this is the only time of year you can eat it. It's like, no, it's not. I can buy that shit and portion that shit, and I can have that shit all year round if I love it so much. Done. End of story. That was an easy one to overcome. I can eat dessert after dinner because I didn't eat much today or because I didn't have wine. Okay, that is a definite excuse. So now we just have to think to ourselves, like, okay, when that happens, I need to tell myself, I can have dessert even if I'm having wine. I can have dessert even if I ate all the food today. Like, this is what's so crazy. You think dessert's special when dessert is just food. It's like, I would think about this. It's like, I think the thought underneath this is I'm going to have dessert because I'm suffering over here. So, in order, and I'm going to take care of my suffering needs. Like, I'm not going to have wine. And I really didn't get to eat much today. So, I've already toiled and labored. So, I should have dessert. It's like, first of all, let's solve the problem of why we're not eating much today. Because that right there is saying, I am ignoring my basic human needs. I'm underfueling. So, like, there's always that. Like, why do I feel like I get to eat extra simply because today I underfueled myself? So, wouldn't the real problem to solve be like, let's figure out why I'm underfueling? Let's figure out why I'm having to miss meal. Let's figure out ways that I can make that something that rarely ever happens. Like, put your brain to work, like, use that as the signal to put your brain to work on the real problem in the room. Now, when it comes to dessert, I would just tell myself, you've got to have a better definition of dessert. Dessert's not earned. Dessert doesn't get to happen only when. Like, that's a lot of food rules, a lot of heaviness around dessert, which also means you probably have a taboo around dessert. And I'm going to tell all of you again, dessert is just food. If you want to have dessert, start planning for some desserts and just tell yourself, I don't want to eat dessert because I feel like I suffered today. Tell yourself all the great things you did today. Like, what you really deserve is not to eat dessert. What you really deserve is probably a break. You deserve a better plan so you don't have to be underfueled. And here's what else you deserve. You deserve to enjoy your dessert truly. And only allowing yourself dessert most of the time when you have somehow been punished during the day is not true enjoyment. How do I handle overeats of foods I consider special occasion foods? The excuse is we only have this on special occasions, so I can have some. Then that leads to overeats because of scarcity thoughts. I won't have this again for a long, long time. How do I take down the temperature of these foods? Well, first of all, you can quit telling yourself that they're special occasion foods. All of you, in this day and age, there is rarely special occasion foods. Like a lot of people say, well, Thanksgiving. Like, if you fucking want a turkey, go cook you one. You want cornbread dressing? Go make you some. You want your mama's mac and cheese? Get her fucking recipe. Eat it more often. Like a lot of times, wait, we have this. First of all, I just want y'all to question the idea that there are special occasion foods. Now, let's say you only do eat certain things. Like maybe your mama only makes mac and cheese one way. No one's ever been able to replicate it. This is the one time a year you get it. Here's what I do. If it's truly that big of a special occasion, I always tell myself at this meal, it is okay to eat to full. This food is truly is special, but I'm going to plan ahead for that. This is what I'm not going to be doing. I'm not going to be doing it like y'all do it, which is like, well, I only get this every now and then and blah, 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 blah. So now I'm going to eat my fucking face off and then feel bad about it after. Stop doing that. That's the dumbass way to not lose weight. Here's how you do it. If you know you're going to have a special occasion food, which most of you will, like I want you to think about it. It's not like special occasion foods, like just walking down the hall, all of a sudden out of the closet jumps mac and cheese. Like that does not happen. Like our special occasion foods are not just sprung upon us all the time. And most special occasion foods aren't even really that special. So, like, we have to really deconstruct that at first. Okay. Now, let's say you know you are going someplace and it's going to be a very special occasion. You just need to say, like, do I want to eat till full at this meal? This is one of the meals I'm not going to eat till enough. I'm going to eat until full. Because I really want to eat this one thing, and that's going to take me to full. And that's what I'm doing for this meal. And I don't need to hoover all of it. I don't need to make myself miserable. And if I'm truly not going to get it for a long time, I owe it to myself to savor it. And then you can write about this too. Me overeating it, do I actually? In like when we say like I won't get it again for a long time, it's like, okay, so I want you to think about it logically. Let's say it's a pie and you get your slice and you're like, oh God, my mother's not making this pie again for a year. Oh my God, it's a special treat. I just want to eat it. I just like I'm not gonna get it again, so I'm gonna go get more. Okay. If we had went into that meal and we had just said, hey, this pie is like the special occasion pie, and maybe even have a couple other things with it. And if you really go into it with it planned and you say, like, you know what? I am going to eat till full. Here's about how much I think that's going to be. And that's what you do. Now, if you were to go back and you ate three pieces of pie, I want you to write about that. Like, if I truly eat like I always do, then how bad do I feel after? And not just because you ate a lot. I want you to think about the physical price you pay. Then I want you to ask yourself, that physical price I paid, did that do it? Did that say, like, all right, we're good for a whole year? And I've ate so much of it, it won't even be special next year. Because our effort to eat too much of it is as if we're going to eat so much that we won't miss it. It's like all that ends up happening is it just teaches you that you can't control yourself around that food. That's it. So what we want to do is we want to teach ourselves, it's like, I can eat these things in control. And it's not terrible to miss it. That's what's going to make it more special next year. Because if it truly is special occasion food, then I need to miss it for it to feel special. Otherwise, it's just food. That's why I'm always telling y'all, like some of these foods that y'all are just like, oh, and weirded out, like around dessert. It's like if you quit putting them on a pedestal, then you don't miss them anymore. And then you don't feel out of control around them anymore. So if you just plan them a little bit more often, and then you just tell yourself, like, me overeating them doesn't make me not still miss it or not whatever. Like, that's just not helping. All right, let's see. I overeat on weekends. This is what is keeping me from reaching my goals. I know this. My major excuse is it doesn't matter anyway because I've been a member since 2019. And all right, so that is a huge, huge excuse. Doesn't matter how long you've been here. Like when your brain is offering that up, it's only saying, I'm just trying to get you to eat because it's a fucking good time on the weekends. That's all it's doing. Doesn't matter how long you've been a member because whether you joined today or you joined 5 years ago, if you don't want to overeat on the weekends, you can. Doesn't matter. You are exposed to the same information everybody else is. You have the same ass coaches to go to on the weekends instead of going to the pantry. Like your brain is just saying, like, it's more fun to eat on the weekends than it is to work on this. And it's like, of course it is. So, that excuse is not what's keeping you overeating on the weekends. You think that excuse is keeping you overeating? No. You know what's keeping you overeating on the weekends? Not figuring out why you need food so bad on the weekends. What is it about the weekends? I most want, like, if food wasn't an option, you need to ask yourself, if I couldn't eat, this is what I would be feeling on the weekends. Probably like I wouldn't feel relief. I wouldn't feel relaxed. I wouldn't feel comforted, which will be telling you that on the weekends, what you're really seeking is I go like most time weekend, like weekend binges are usually for this reason. During the week, I am pushing myself. Working hard, not giving myself breaks, over dieting, over restricting, and doing all kinds of bullshit. Then on the weekends, I have to sit there and be exhausted from the week unless I eat. I don't know how to take a break on the weekend. Like, I don't know how to just sit and watch TV without eating because if I'm just watching TV and resting and doing the things that I know I need, then I beat myself up. For that, I think I should be doing this or I should be doing that. And so I'd rather eat to tune all of that out. So, Erica, your biggest thought error is you think that your excuse of it doesn't matter because I've been a member since 2019, that is not what's keeping you weekend eating. It's what's happening during the week that's keeping you eating on the weekend. And we need to find that out. That's what you need to be taking to ask coaches. I'm overeating every weekend. And I think it could be for these reasons. It's either I can't just sit and do nothing on the weekends without feeling lazy. So when I'm eating, I don't feel lazy. During the week, I'm go, 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 go. And on the weekends, it's the first time I get to breathe and take care of me. And the only way I know how to do that is by eating. Otherwise, I'm trying to busy myself just like I do during the week. It could be that you're over dieting during the week. This is very common in a lot of women. We do a lot of like, I'm really good through the week, and really good is code for, hang on, I got hair in my mouth. I'm missing meals. I'm not eating any fun foods. Basically, Monday through Thursday or Friday morning, I'm absolving my weekend sins by overcorrecting through the week. And I'm not giving myself anything I need through the week. I'm not giving myself food, a comfort with food. I'm not giving myself comfort with enough rest. I'm not giving myself enough like slack in my head about demands and stuff. All of that's not happening. And I wonder why I blow up on the weekends. You're getting crushed under your own pressure. That's usually what weekend or triggering weekend binges are all about. I hear my brain coming back to the world. To the word special. This is a special treat. All right, I've already talked about special treats. Or since I'm celiac, I think, ooh, this is the time of year I can make my special gluten-free XYZ. You can make your special gluten-free XYZ any time of the year. Why do y'all keep saying that? Have y'all not listened to a damn thing I've said in any of the courses? I tell y'all all the time, plan realistically. If you've got all these fucking foods that y'all are saying are one time only, especially if you're the one making it. That is not a one time only. That is not a special occasion. Cook it more often. Destigmatize it so that you're not overeating it, so it's no longer on a pedestal. Hey, somebody from Mount Juliet, right up the road from me. I need to eat these last few bites, even though I'm had enough, because I might get hungry later. So dumb. But what's good to say back to my brain about this? This is a persistent. This is an easy one, Lisa. Let's see. Like when your brain's like, well, what if I get hungry later? Well, let's see. Let's see if I actually get hungry later. Let's see if 3 or 4 bites is legit what I need. And if I get hungry later, put those bites in the fridge and come on back to them. So like I'll give you 2 hours. If you're hungry in 2 hours because of these 3 to 4 bites or whatever it is, girl, you can go back and you can eat them things. You obviously needed it. But a lot of times with thoughts like this, we just have to prove to ourselves that we're wrong. Like most of the time you're wrong. I've never seen anybody like, you know, I've been sitting here not eating those last 2 bites, and I'm just starving all the time. Most of the time, when people leave behind a few bites and they get the courage to just see if they get hungry, they realize, like, oh, that was a lot of drama over nothing. Nothing happened. So just sometimes, y'all, you just have to try things. Your brain is just wrong. Like I never try to let my brain be the predictor of the future. It's terrible at it. If I had all of the campers do this exercise, and y'all can do this. Make a list when it comes to your excuses. Like if your excuse is baked in the idea of, I'm afraid this will happen. Okay. I want you to make a list of everything that you thought in the last 10 years that you thought would happen. I guarantee you nobody was thinking a pandemic was going to happen. We're terrible at predicting things. When I was getting a divorce at 21, I would have bet all my money, and I didn't have much, but I would have bet what little I had. I remember being so excited back in the day. And on cue is the weed eater. He's like literally, maybe he'll wave to us in the window. He's in this window over here. Well, you can't see him, but maybe he'll walk all the way down. I remember getting excited because I would pay all my bills and I'd have like $20 left over to last me for like 2.5 weeks. And that was my food money too. Talk about trying to make a dollar stretch. So one of the things that I would do, like back then, is I just thought when I was divorcing him, you'll never get married. Like, no one's ever going to want you. And I like literally remember journaling and writing about how what it was going to be like to be single for the rest of my life. And here I am, married. It'll be 23 years. Is it 23? Yeah, 23 years. 25 years with Chris this year. Like, I always thought I would never lose weight. Fucking wrong about that. I thought I'd always be working for the man. I own two businesses. Like, if you just kind of go through and you list a lot of things that you thought that would happen, we're so wrong about it all the time. So if we're wrong about the big things in our life, just imagine how wrong we are about leaving 2 bites behind. All right. And with that, that's all I got for y'all today, ladies. Y'all have a good one. I will see you on Sunday for coaching. Bye, y'all.